You can open up your Bibles to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1, we're going to be reading verses 1 through verses 11. This, of course, as you turn to your Bibles, is the holiest day of the Christian calendar. The holiest day of the Christian calendar. Today is the holiest day of Christian calendar. That is Resurrection Sunday. However, many of us have heard and are oriented through a lot that goes on around us, and we can call this Easter Sunday. The question is, what is the difference between Resurrection Sunday and Easter Sunday? That's not what this sermon's about. But as a short clip, let me just show you this video that we have as it talks about the difference between the two. Amen. A quote that he uses there, two quotes. Easter, the holiest day of the Christian calendar, a celebration of Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead. He also adds, for 2,000 years, customs have been added, some spiritual and some fun, but Easter is also a time for families to gather and welcome spring when new life emerges from the dead of winter. Now, we could talk about Estra, the goddess of fertility, and how bunny rabbits are very fertile and so forth, but I like to look at the book of Acts and talk about his death, resurrection, ascension, and second coming. So let's turn to Acts and not focus on the pagan perspective of it, but rather what the Bible says, when really today is about Resurrection Sunday. So let's turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 1 through 11. And as you turn to that, a little preface of this book. This is a sequel. This is the second book of two that Luke writes about. The first book he writes, of course, is the book of Luke, which is the book of the gospel of Jesus Christ, talking about Jesus Christ, his birth, his death, and ascension. Those are the three things they talk about. And as they get into the book of Acts, this is the second part. He's talking to a guy named Theophilus. Theophilus is a Greek guy, and he's just giving him information. As he gives him information, he's going to be talking about the second coming. So follow with me. Acts chapter 1, he says, in my former book, being that of Luke, this is when I wrote in Luke, Theophilus, he's writing to Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up, hence ascension. After giving instructions to the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. Now he changes here in verse 3 through verses 9, and now he's going to go back and reiterate the book of Luke. So here's what he says about the book of Luke. After his suffering, he presented himself as Jesus to them and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive, since obviously he was dead. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard of me speak about, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He's talking about being an earthly king. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witness in Jerusalem, and you will in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he had said this, he was taken up, again ascended before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. So that's the perspective of regurgitating the book of Luke. Now he goes into this aspect of the second coming when he reads verse 10 and 11, or when he says verses 10 and 11. He says, they were looking intently into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men, we believe, which are the angels, dressed in white, stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Now that, of course, is talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. It is inevitable. I'm telling you right now without any doubt in my life. You could put my wife and my son on the chopping block, whatever it is, I guarantee you Jesus Christ is coming back. I guarantee you, I promise you this, that he is coming back. Now, when you look at the resurrection, the death, and ascension, now, this is God's way of saying, you know what, I love you, I want to save you from your own sins. Now, 3 days ago, of course, as we look at this perspective, was Friday. We looked at that as Good Friday. When we say Good Friday, it's sort of a sorrowful, maybe mournful time. We had a wonderful service. But just commemorating the understanding that Jesus died that day on the cross. And on the third day, he rose again. And that's what today is. Resurrection Day. He is alive. That's key. Now, if you look at three other major religions, whether it be Islam or Hindu, Siddharth, he's dead. Muhammad, he's dead. He hasn't risen. Well, other people have risen. Lazarus has risen. The prophet Elijah, when they put him into the grave with other bones, the dead rose. But we don't serve Lazarus. We serve Jesus Christ. Why? Not only because did he raise from the dead, it says here in Luke, 40 days later, he ascended into heaven. What does that mean? Because Lazarus rose from the dead, but then he died again. Jesus rose from the dead, and is still going. He always is and always has been. And that's what the ascension is talking about. That's what this wonderful day, that's what we commemorate this day for, is that Jesus died, he rose, and he ascended into heaven. That's the powerful thing. And many of you know it. You heard John or Romans 3:23. You heard Romans 6:23. For all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. For all of us sin and shall fall short of the glory of God. But for the wages of sin is death. Yes. Amen. That's a powerful thing. But the story doesn't end there. As we see in Acts chapter 1, and this is my contention towards all of us, especially me and everybody else, that I guarantee you, I promise you that he is coming back, and we need to prepare ourselves. This is a wonderful time. This is a joyous time. You see, God saves us, death, resurrection, ascension, but God desires us, and he's coming back. I believe that there's more to it. I believe that there's an unlocking and fulfilling with this particular understanding of who God is. A powerful thing. Now, we look at second coming, and let me tell you what I'm going to be preaching on today. And some of us are going to be really absolutely surprised. You're like, well, I thought today's Resurrection Sunday, we're going to be talking about the resurrection. No, I'm going to be talking about his second coming. Because that's what we're going to be waiting for. If you've already accepted Christ Jesus into your heart, that is what I'm waiting for. Now, if you haven't accepted Christ Jesus into your heart, I challenge you, I plead with you, please understand what the cross is about. But today is for my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Is to empower you of what God has for you, how much he loves you. Now look at this timeline. You ask yourself, what is the second coming? So as we look at this timeline, fairly relatively, as people say that the world is 6 billion years old. No, wrong. The world is 6,000 years old. 6,000 years ago, God created ex nihilo. That is, out of nothing, God created. He created man. He created the earth. He created the universe. He created the stars. He created the angels. He also created heaven, but he himself was never created. He has always been and has always and will be. He's eternity. I can't explain that. He created time during created order at that time. Doesn't make sense, but that's how he is. For 4,000 years until the cross, there's all these prophecies saying the Lamb of God is coming. The Messiah is coming. During those 4,000 years, people would sin, and what they would do is they'd take a sacrifice for their sin. Of course, that's the lamb. And they would sacrifice that lamb. Amen? They waited 4,000 years, and finally the first coming came, which was Jesus Christ. He was born, Christmas. He died, Good Friday. He rose, and 40 days later, he ascended into heaven. The second coming. Now, he ascended into heaven. He's not in the grave. He's alive. But he says he's coming back. And how is he coming back? with angels and trumpets on clouds. I dare say sometimes we need to be prepared. I really, really believe this. I believe with all my heart there's a lot of people here who are absolutely, no question, regenerate, born again, believe Jesus Christ, trust Him, and love Him. There's no question about that. It'd be wonderful just to kind of go up to heaven right now. But you're not. Now, you either prepare yourself, and another great thing is to prepare others. There's a book called Revelation, some in Thessalonians, some in Daniel that we barely preach about. Has anyone ever preached about Revelation? Ooh. It's coming. It's inevitable. It's absolutely going to happen. But I guarantee you, we prepare ourselves as a public school teacher to become a lawyer, a doctor. Nobody says, hey, I want you to be prepared for this. There's going to be a day that's coming, brother. I'm telling you. And you need to be prepared. Like, I'm not ready. It's almost as if saying, you know what, if there was a tsunami and it so happened to hit, I don't know, in the Gulf of Mexico, and it would say it was 100 times anything that we have ever seen before, do you think you have enough gasoline, enough Spam, enough, you know, food ready? Do you really? I guarantee you some of you guys are collecting. But do you really, really think you're prepared for it? Do you? God is preparing the church, and it's not a scary thing. He says it's going to be a glorious, and it's going to be the biggest and the most powerful thing that's going to happen for the church. However, we're not ready for it. And that's what I want to preach on today, because it's Resurrection Sunday. Second coming. What does that mean? You're like, wait a minute. I thought today's Resurrection Sunday. I thought you were going to talk about He died on the cross, He rose again. I did. I just already did that. But listen to the second coming. Listen to His second coming. I have this acronym that I use, and this is biblical. The acronym is not to confuse you. It just so happens to be an acronym. I call it FLIP. I just made it up last night. I honestly did. FLIP, not FLIP as in Filipino, you know, or FLIP like upside down, whatever. I don't know. It's easy to memorize. And somebody could say, I can remember what you preached on 2 years ago, something about FLIP. FLIP, what does that mean? And you've heard these before. It says F, fast weekly. L, live holy. P, pray daily. Well, I know how to do those things. I can do those things. That's fairly simple. That's powerful. But let me go over the first one real quick and listen to what it says. Here's what the Bible says. Fasting, of course, is not eating for a prolonged period of time. And for that reason, you'll understand why we do it and why people do it. And it's a private thing. It's not a public thing. I don't come up here and say, hey, guys, guess what I'm going to be fasting. I'm not going to tell you when I'm fasting. It's between myself and God. But it says, I believe the Bible says for us to fast weekly, regularly. Fast weekly. We need to position ourselves to receive more from God. This is for you believers. We need to position ourselves to receive more from God. We do. We absolutely do. This is a wonderful quote I'm about to read to you. And as you look at it, it's from a book called Seven Commitments to a Forerunner by Mike Bickle. Listen to what it says. Here's a quote that I just picked out of his book. The Holy Spirit, and this is using from Revelation 19:7. Again, we don't preach too much on Revelation, but listen to it. The Holy Spirit, not you, you're not preparing nobody. The Holy Spirit is preparing the church for the greatest revival and the most intense pressure experienced in all of human history. The Scriptures reveal, it's revealed. Oh, if you can just read it daily, I'm telling you, it's profound. The Scriptures reveal that the years preceding the Lord's return, that's the second coming, that He's telling right now, before He comes, the Scripture's going to reveal this, will be the church's finest hour. See, most of us are like, I'm scared. I don't know about that the tribulation stuff. You know, that's hell on earth, right? It's difficult. I don't know who's going to be here or not going to be. Am I going to be here? I'm going to be raptured up, but the people have to deal with it. No, this is going to be the finest hour. As the bride of Christ, that's the church, is purified by the fires of revival and the fires of persecution. Scriptures assure us that the bride at the end, that's the church at the end of the age, will be fully prepared for the return of Christ. That's why I'm telling you this. You will have to be prepared sooner or later. It says, this means that radical changes will come to the church. As much as of what the church accepts as normal today will be dramatically changed. We need to position ourselves to receive more from God. So why fasting? Why fasting? Why do we have to fast? What does fasting actually do? Well, if you look in Daniel chapter 9, what he talks about there is that through fasting and praying, the prophet, you see Daniel, he was given increased revelation not to understand what's going on in his little world during that time, 3,000 years ago. He was given increased revelation for the last days of life. Increased revelation. So when you fast, you're given this increased revelation. You hear in New Testament, well, there's this boy who was demon-possessed and he was foaming by the mouth, and Jesus comes, well, the disciples come first and they start praying and say, in the name of Jesus, be healed, and they couldn't heal him. Jesus comes back and says, he took the disciples after healing the boy, he took them over here and said, hey, look, the reason why that young man was not healed is because this comes through prayer and fasting. The power of God, one way to understand is through fasting. It's like, well, I don't want to fast because I'm a hungry person. This has nothing to do with food. You could fast on no TV, no internet, no Facebook, no cell phone texting at all for 3 months. Try it. See what happens. 3 months? Try it. See what happens. You will get bitter. You will get angry. You'll look at the natural aspect of life and you'll be denied it. And the only thing that you're left as a Christian is to focus on God. Try it. Try to fast for 3 days. Try to fast for 30 days. I guarantee you, I wouldn't do anything to you, but if God's in your heart, I guarantee you He's going to work in you. And you'll be like, whoa, what's going on? I'm so bitter, I'm so mad, I can't. Lord, help me, Jesus. You have no other choice but to focus on God. Fasting brings you back to God. It's not about the fasting aspect. Like, man, I can't wait. I haven't eaten in 3 days. And man, I'm going to go to Fogo de Chao or Todai. Ooh, man. And the whole time you weren't even thinking about God. Fasting. Fast weekly. We need to position ourselves to receive more from God. We really, really do. Again, fasting removes us from the natural position to the position for us to receive the supernatural. Nobody talks about this. I don't talk about supernatural. No, I don't want to talk about the Holy Spirit. No, I know a lot about it. Acts chapter 2 says it on the last days of the day of the Lord. In the last days, God says in Acts chapter 2, I will pour out my Spirit on all people as believers. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Are you really praying for these things? Do you pray every night and say, Lord Jesus, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, I pray for you, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, that God may give you wisdom and revelation that you may know Him. Lord Jesus, help me. Help me understand a little bit more. Help me understand how much spam I need to get. No. Help me understand a little bit more about you. Pour out your supernatural upon my heart. Let me see somebody be healed from cancer, whatever that may be. Help me get rid of my addictions. I want to see somebody who is homosexual become absolutely turned from that. I want to see that, Lord Jesus. Show that to me. Let me see your supernatural, Lord. Let me see that. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm telling you, it will come. It will be the finest moment of the church. I really believe this. Some of y'all think, I don't know what he's talking about out there. Today's Resurrection Sunday. We should just talk about that cross and that's it. No, I am talking about the cross. I really am. I'm preparing you, brothers and sisters in Christ, for a wonderful time to come. It's going to happen. No question. I heard a lot of amens a little while ago. It's going to happen, brother. I promise you this. His second coming will 100% happen. There's not one promise in the Bible that has not happened. And the only thing that has not happened yet is the second coming. And that is to come, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's coming. And I tell you right now, be prepared. So fast weekly. Flip. Live holy. Well, I live holy. I know what living holy means, brother. I live holy. Come on, you know, Pastor, I've seen you. You get mad too. I saw you in the basketball game. Come on, man. Are you cheating on that basketball, by the way? Because you're the ref and the player. That doesn't make any sense. No, I do. Some of the young guys don't like me sometimes. But we understand live holy. But look, we need to be more zealous and live more fascinated in the pleasures of loving God. More. You need to be more zealous, not just on Sunday or Friday, or maybe right before you sleep and right before you eat, brother, sister, really. You need to be more zealous and live more fascinated in the pleasures of loving God. So what is it to be holy first? Before we talk about the zealous part, before about being fascinated, what is it to be holy? We understand holy, it's missing the mark. It's not just killing somebody, the action, but the thought of killing. Oh man, I don't like that guy. If he cuts me off again, I'd like to kill him. Either way, whenever you have a thought process that's not, it's separated from God, that's not being holy. That's sin. I have that daily. So don't feel like, oh man, that's me again. That's me too. So, well, what are you trying to say? Be holy. Christ Jesus talks about being holy. Peter mentions this in 1 Peter chapter 1:16. He quotes, and he says, "Be holy, for I am holy." He's referring to Yahweh. He's referring to God saying, "Be holy. Be pure." Jesus Christ says, "Be like the little children." When I see Tice, I see him growing up. When I look at him, he's a smile-looking, cute-looking kid. He's pure. And about 18 years from now, he's probably going to talk back to me. He's probably like this tall. He said, "Would you say that?" I'm sure he's not going to say that. But when they're young, they're pure. We need to be pure. The understanding. I won't preach too much on that, but that's absolutely pretty awesome. But be pure. Be holy, for I am holy. Be zealous. Be zealous. We need to be more zealous and live more fascinated. We need to be actively devoted. That's what that means. That's what zealous means. To be actively devoted, not just passively waiting. I'm waiting for your second coming. Look, I accepted you when I was 16 years old, and I'm going to wait till I'm 88 years old until I die and go to heaven. No, you need to be actively devoted. Actively. Brothers, I'm glad everyone's here at church, and I know a lot of people love, but be more so. Be fascinated by who God is. You see, we are built in ways. When you talk about being fascinated, we are created to understand and experience pleasure. Even in this world, whether it be at a basketball game, whether it be through intimacy, whether it be through reading a book because you enjoy that gives you pleasure. We have this attraction to understand pleasure. But the reason why we have that pleasure is because God created us to experience pleasure, to deeply desire and be fascinated by the one and only Creator. Now, if you didn't have that pleasure for riding your bike, your mountain bike or whatever, or reading your book, or jogging, or watching a football game, or watching a movie, if you didn't have that pleasure, how are you going to have the pleasure for the Lord? God's teaching you. Pleasure is a good thing. Everyone's like, pleasure is a bad thing. Don't ever have pleasure. Pleasure is a good thing. But the pleasure for the Lord is what you're built for. And what we're using our pleasure for is the wrong thing. Hence, fasting. You remove some of those natural, and you start to move into supernatural. And once you move into this supernatural understanding who God is, not me, I don't understand how God works. But once you deny yourself certain things, God will work into your heart. God will work into your heart. And when He works into your heart, you will understand your fascination for Him. And there's a lot of people who are just, aren't you ever fascinated by God? Like, that's awesome. Aren't you, don't you ever have wonder? Don't you have this wonderful understanding like, oh, that's a new thing. I want to learn how that crankshaft works in that motor. That's That's awesome. That's interesting to me. That's a wonderful thing. You see, don't you wonder how God, he says in Psalms, delights in you? Don't you wonder how he loves you? He's like, you know what? I really, really, really more than like you. I love you. Wouldn't you want to know how God would speak to you? Because he's going to. Whether you know it or not, he's going to speak to you. Just like it says in Job 38, brace yourself, brother. Let me speak. It's my turn to speak, Job. You've said all your complaints. It's my turn, Brother Lester. It's my turn, Brother Darrell. It's my turn, Pastor Rick. It's my turn, Pastor D. Let me speak now. Did you know that I loved you back in April 17th of 2011? Did you know how much I just wanted to touch your heart and say, you are the sweetest person in the world? But Lord, I did something. You know, I love you. I really do. Stop talking. Brace yourself. Let me talk to you. There will be a time. Do you know? Do you understand that wonder? That's the fascination. We need to be more fascinated for the Lord. We do. We do. And finally, flip with a P, pray. Pray daily. Well, I know how to pray. I've prayed many, many of times. I really have. But we need to connect more with God while changing the world towards him. We do. And what have I been talking about as far as praying? Praying is this understanding of communicating with God. While you walk, while you talk, it says in Deuteronomy 6. You're continually talking to him and listening to him through his word. This is what you call cultivating an intimacy with God. Cultivating, like cultivating the ground. You're cultivating your heart, brothers and sisters. This is a great, wonderful time to commemorate the Lord Jesus Christ. It really is. There's no question and no doubt in my heart and in my mind that the most important thing in life has to be first and foremost that cross, that he died on the cross for our sins. Now, as he died on the cross for our sins, and as we wait, we still need to cultivate. It's called sanctification. It means to make yourself better or make yourself purer or make yourself more holy like Jesus is. And how he's modeled it through the scriptures or the love letter we call the Bible. When you cultivate your heart, like cultivating the ground so that you may receive. Again, when you cultivate the ground for plants, you put seeds into it, and then when that plant comes up, it bears fruit. And if you have good ground, you cultivate it very well, and you bear fruit. The fruits aren't apples and pears. And the fruits that we're talking about is that of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. We cultivate that. And one of the best places you see cultivating is in a marriage. You say, well, I sometimes fight with my husband or my wife. I'm not talking about that, brother. I'm not talking about the marriage between one man and one woman, which I believe with all my heart. I'm talking about the metaphorical understanding, cultivating your heart, that you see in the Old Testament in Hosea when he says, the marriage between God, Yahweh, and the nation of Israel. In the New Testament, you hear between the groom, which is God, and the bride of Christ, which is the church. Hence, the church is married to God. And when that day comes, I hope and pray that we're all wearing, symbolically, a white dress. A white dress signifies purity, holiness. And to do that, one of the best ways to do and understand that is to pray. To pray. Prime example of that is through marriage between you and him. So, fast weekly, live holy, pray daily. We need to position ourselves to receive more from God. We need to be more zealous and live fascinated in the pleasures of God. We need to connect more with God while changing world towards him. Again, this is going to be the church's finest hour. Are you prepared? I'm preparing myself. I hope and pray that the church is. It has to be a supernatural power. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to do this. It says this a little while ago that the Holy Spirit will prepare them. Amen. This is a powerful time. It's going to come, I believe. It may happen in 1,000 years. It may happen next year, for all I know. But I guarantee you the second coming is coming. And the church, be prepared. And as we celebrate, and as we commemorate, and as we acknowledge this wonderful, most holy day, which is Resurrection Sunday, think about those things. Think about it. Fast weekly, live holy, pray daily. These are sort of biblical perspectives that come through this. As we heard the praise and worship band saying, Hosanna, one of the first things that you hear, and you don't hear the pitch, I hope and pray you don't hear the pitch that goes up and down or whatever, if it's an E and C minor, whatever they're going to, but what you hear is, I see the King of Glory. Hear the words that they sing. And as they come up here, the powerful words that they say, I see the King of Glory coming down the clouds with fire. The whole earth shakes. The whole earth shakes. Brother and sister, I'm telling you, man, I'm excited. I really am. I'm fascinated. I really am. I'm absolutely fascinated. I love my job. This is the best job in the world. It's better than being a golf player or an NBA player. I'd like to be one day, but never will be, I'm sure. But I love God so much, and I am so fascinated with Him because He's revealing things. And brother, I'm just trying to invite you to cultivate your heart, because He's going to cultivate your heart whether you like it or not. Amen. And He's going to prepare. If it's not your time, and maybe you pass on, it may be your great-great-great-grandson's time, but you need to prepare their heart, because it's going to be the finest hour for the church. I guarantee you this. If you keep looking and reading the Bible, if you read Revelation, it's going to be a glorious perspective. If you look at the negatives there and all the scary stuff, sure, you're going to be scared. But it's going to be the finest hour for the church. I see the King of Glory coming down the clouds with fire. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, may we pray, Lord Jesus. We, Holy Spirit, we pray. We do. May we see the King of Glory coming down the clouds with fire. May the whole earth shake. May the whole earth shake. But we know, Lord, you're not in the earthquake shake. You're not in the fire. You are who you are. You're powerful, Lord. I see your love and I see your mercy washing over all our sins. The people sing. I want you to sing this song to the Lord. And if it's your first time, if you've never accepted Christ Jesus into your heart, and you've heard it many, many a times, and if you're afraid to come up here, that's fine. But I challenge you. If you want to accept Christ Jesus into your heart, go, it says in Matthew, and pray the Lord's Prayer. Ask Christ Jesus into your heart. Maybe when you're driving home. But I challenge you, if you want to come up here and if you want to accept Christ Jesus into your heart, you're more than welcome. If you want to just lay your heart down and say, Lord, you know, I'm so sorry. I really am. I just want to rededicate my heart to you. If you want to come up here to do that, you're more than welcome to. Or if you want to come up, or if you want to kneel down upon your chairs and say, Lord Jesus, I want you to cultivate my heart. I want you to position me to receive more from you. I want to be more zealous for you. I want to be more fascinated for you. You're more than welcome to do that by your chair. But I challenge you. Don't let this day go by. Or don't let any day go by without hearing God's word and saying, you know what, Lord? I need to know you more. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you.